Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire basketball podcast. That's right, we're doing hoops, you know it, MWWire.com. Jeremy here, Andy hanging out. So we're getting close to the end. The season is nigh, as I say.
Yeah, I mean, I think the end is nigh. I think the season's been here, but yeah.
There you go, good point. It's a correction, yes.
But so I think, you know, it's just wild because it feels like, I don't know, Matt Norlander from CBS had a tweet earlier today talking about how I think only 40% of non-conference games ended up getting played, or like, you know, 40% as many as have been played in years past. And I think that's why it still feels like we're only in the middle of the season, but no, we're wrapping up. Conference tournaments are right around the corner. March is right around the corner. It's crazy.
Oh, it definitely, no, it totally is. It's great. It's, we're going to get to some weird stuff, but I am surprised, like, outside of, like, was it 2 weeks ago where there's a handful of Mountain West games, a kind of bunch of cancellations, Nevada, a couple more New Mexico games, like, we're Utah State, Wyoming, and we're like, oh, boy, things are getting going for the worst. But right now it seems like, I don't know what it seems like, but it just seems, when there's missing games, like, really, Nevada hasn't played in, like, a month? Like, oh, boy,
well, yeah,
that's true.
The weird thing is, like, oh, we're almost at the end of the season. It's like, did anybody even play last week? Did we have, were there any games?
Yeah, because yeah, one so series gets canceled, it's like, it's two games, and then if two, it's four teams, four games. It's like, oh, it's kind of, gets away from you. But, so what we're doing today, as you've been noticing the past weeks of the podcast, we're doing fewer game stuff because fewer games matter. And that's gonna totally lead into my thing, because I had a guy on Twitter come after me, well, what do you mean they matter? What, there's a seeding, and I'm like, hold your horses, calm down, buddy. So what the Mountain West is deciding to do, and we discussed a couple weeks ago, figured what's the point? And you can't see me do this, but it's rubbing my fingers, the one hand, the money thing, like, hey, it's the money. It's stupid because it's about money, why the Mountain West is rescheduling a bunch of games, and in arguably the worst way possible, in my opinion. So we had a bunch of series like New Mexico, San Diego State, CSU, New Mexico, New Mexico, somebody else probably, but like UNLV, San Diego State, Fresno, Utah State, which only had one game, and then boy, like, it's just a bunch of random series. They're being remade because we mentioned that week of March 2nd to March, I guess 6th is what they're doing. So they're rescheduling 8 games. Air Force is not involved because they've played enough games to be like, oh, we're cool. But
yeah, they're going to play their whole schedule normally with no makeups.
Oh, I thought they had 2 games they missed. I guess they didn't play.
Oh, no, that's right. Sorry, they're going to get to 20 with the makeups. My bad.
So I know why. We know it's money. But if you're being smart, like the guy on Twitter is a Wyoming guy. He's like, well, this Wyoming and whatever series, well, seeding's on the line. And he's like, 5th through 8th. I'm like, really? You're telling me that really matters, a 5th through 8th seeding? Right?
Like, I mean,
come on.
So can anyone overtake Nevada for 5th place? Because that does matter, because you do get a bye out of that first round. But
as of right now, Nevada has a two-game lead over UNLV.
Right, okay.
And for the games that are coming up, they don't play each other. Nevada does play twice.
Right.
But here's the thing. UNLV also plays San Diego State not for some reason, but we know why. But also, Nevada swept UNLV, so it's a hard no. There's literally no way they could pass them because they would tie at 9-7 if they both, if Nevada goes 0-2 and UNLV 2-0, Nevada still owns the tiebreaker.
Doesn't Nevada have games this week, though, like regular games, though, too?
Oh, well.
Don't they play, like,
they get Mountain State? West this week? Yes.
Right, like, there's still a real Mountain West week to play still, like, and a really big series that we were treating as the finale for so long that I was like, yes, we're going to end on Boise State, San Diego State. It's going to be amazing. It's all – but now it's like, okay, now we're going to, like, have this weird week of makeup games.
Okay.
And we might actually end up having Colorado State, Nevada decide the whole league, the regular season. It could end up playing out that way, which is just crazy.
Yeah, maybe I misspoke because I was just thinking for some reason that's left. But, like, if we're being real here, it's like, here's the main reason. It's like, I get they want to make up games. It's for TV obligations because they need to make up whatever games. And even though one of the freaking games is on Stadium, which I guarantee doesn't pay the Mountain West a dime for those type of games. Like, they do have, and one's on the Mountain West Network. Are you kidding me? Mexico CSU on the Mountain West Network needs to be played to fulfill your TV obligations? No. Nevada San Jose State's on Stadium, like I mentioned, no. Okay, I see the other games, but it's ridiculous. And here's also why it's dumb, Andy. We still living in, last I checked, looks at watch, it's 11 months since everything stopped, essentially. COVID still kind of causing issues for games being not played and canceled. Like Iona, they're done until the conference tournament in the MAC. I'm like, Rick Pitino was right. We should have started the season later and finished up in May. Because had we started, not to go off, but like if we started, say, January, like even a couple weeks later, there would probably still be a couple cancellations here or there, but we're given places and times to where we don't have to have these makeup games right now and reschedule in the dumbest way possible. And not even May, I guess. When did the season really start this year? Like December 1, essentially?
November 25th was the first day.
Official. Okay. So if we go November 25th until the tournament, which is what, March 18th, 19th, NCAAs? So they went December 25th, January 25th, it's about 14 weeks. If you push it back 2 months to start in May, like Rick Pitino said, we're starting end of January. We'd be like 1 month then. Like, if we're starting games now for what people can get from vaccine, people are traveling during the holidays, which caused for people getting sick. Games wouldn't be canceled as many. Probably could have some more non-conference games, possibly, in the mix. Maybe not as normal, but like he was made the right call, and he's been saying it forever and ever. Now, in his season, it's getting screwed a lot because they didn't play forever, and then they played a couple games, and now they're out to the MAC tournament. Like, they're playing like 5 conference games.
Hey, Jeremy, what school did you go to?
University of Utah and Iona College.
Just wondering.
My point's still valid.
No, it is. I'm sorry. That was just...
I love it.
And you and I we've talked about this, a lot. We've been talking about this since, I don't know, it feels like July, about...
Last February, remember?
Well, whenever Pitino came out and made those comments, that was like, because I remember after the season ended, I was in a rut, man, and like I didn't want to write anything. When Pitino came out and said that, though, that was like one of the first pieces I got back, like that got me back into, writing about college sports again, doing all that. But, it feels like, he was right. There is a bit of that, like, we didn't know necessarily, like, yes, he was right that a vaccine would be available by this point. That didn't happen immediately, though. That was a good bet. He was right, but we didn't know it was coming. So, like, I still understand why they made the decision, I guess. And I don't think I'm quite as upset, maybe, with the rescheduling plan as I think you are.
No, here's here's why I'm upset about it.
Yeah. So I'm just hearing all your reasonings before I get into any of mine. So.
That's fine. If you want to, whatever, we can have their back and forth like we typically do. This is not contrived. It's like, I'm doing this because I don't like this, or to make it sound like
argumentative first take
garbage.
We sent each other some tweets, and this is just us now first talking about this for the first time.
There's a couple reasons why it's dumb to do it. Like, rescheduling the games, like, here's the thing, too. If this is a typical year, like, there's no issues, and for some reason there was some sort of natural disaster that wasn't, whatever, some weather, weirdness in weather where it impacted a ton of people, and we had to make up a week's worth of games because out west there was some crazy phenomenon, which still seems scarier than COVID, but it's probably not. But my point being, say there's something weird where these games still had to be rescheduled in a typical year. I still don't think... My first point, the games, they matter, but honestly, do they really matter for seeding-wise? Like, look at who's playing. Like, the only game I really care about that week is Nevada-Colorado State, and they're only playing once. And so that game has an impact because Nevada, I don't think they're getting to NCAA tournament as an at-large bid, but that's, like, a good game. Like, are you telling me, look at these games, and I know it's more basketball. Do you really want CSU, New Mexico, Nevada, San Jose State, like, Utah State, Fresno? I'm like...
Okay, but at the same time, before Sam Merrill's shot in the final, what was the best part of the Mountain West tournament last year? It was Wyoming.
Yeah.
It was Wyoming coming through and winning two games.
They're still going to the tournament. They're still going. Nobody's
I know, but I'm saying those matchups, you know, the matchups end up mattering, and, you know, who's to say if playing Fresno State, or, you know, Fresno State is a good matchup, and they're the team this year who does it, or San Jose State, you know? How cool would that be? So I guess, you know, if these – I haven't looked at all the – I was obviously a little more focused on the top of the league when I was, like, doing
bit of math. That's why the games are – like, I get your point. The matchups, who knows what could happen. But my main point being the matchups were second. That's just a main point of mine. I'm like, seeding doesn't really matter, but what have they been doing all year? Let's be safe. Let's play two games in 3 days in one place. Here's what my tweet sums it up from earlier today. You're going to play most of these teams. Colorado State is, I guess they're hosting, if I'm reading this properly, they're hosting New Mexico. So you have New Mexico CSU on March 3rd. You have in Fort Collins. You have Nevada, San Jose State. I think San Jose, I'm assuming, because they finally had their home opener after all these months. And San Jose.
Hey, that's good. They get another game at the event center, so that's nice.
But then you have those two teams traveling to play each other 2 days later. Then you have Nevada. I guess they're only playing one game. That's kind of a bad example. But my point being, you're traveling way more than you wanted to all year. Why not? Because also, a lot of these games were two-game series that were missed, like CSU-Nevada, San Diego State-UNLV. Maybe it's a schedule thing. I don't have it in front of me completely, but I believe there are very few one-game schedules that were put off. I think... Was it Boise-Fresno just one game, I believe?
Both of Fresno's makeups here are like that. Utah State and Boise State. I think UNLV Wyoming did not go on. San Diego State UNLV did not go on.
Obviously, Lobos,
Nevada, Utah. Yeah, I don't think any of these. Nevada, San Jose State? Is that?
I don't think so. But my point being, look at all this travel they're doing where they've been trying to be all safe all year. And then you're telling me a week later they're all going to go to Vegas? I'm like, maybe it works out perfectly. But, like, I'd rather be overcautious, so why couldn't they play a couple ways, go to Vegas and use the court and play all day for, like, and go a couple days earlier? Like, go – I keep saying like a million times. I hate it. I noticed that listening the other day. I hate it, so I'm trying to stop. But why not play – at the Thomas and Mack have like 3 days before the tournament. So you're already in Vegas. You're just, cause everybody's going to be there anyways. And you play like a Thursday, Saturday and a Friday, Sunday series for all these teams. And you go to the Thomas and Mack and play double, triple headers. I wouldn't mind doing that. Even if it were the same matchup, like say it was Nevada having to play those two teams twice. You play Nevada CSU one day, Nevada San Jose State the other day to fix the schedule. So it's like, it's set. So you're not playing like back-to-back nights. My main issue is the seedings, that's obviously lower secondary. There's some stuff involved to move up or down, and if you're to get a good victory to help your at-large chance, which I don't see it unless you're maybe CSU, if that's a top 100 win versus Nevada. But it's the main point is they've been safe all year, attempting to be. why risk it now, the week before the tournament? Then you go to Vegas where everybody's there. What if there's some COVID issue with San Diego State or Boise State or Utah State and they win the tournament, but Nemus Kata gets COVID and can't play because he's out for 2 weeks or whatever it may be? Like, I think the risk versus reward of rescheduling these games, how they're rescheduling, is my issue, and I don't think it's worth it.
Fair. I would say, you know, I guess one thing that I see that sticks out to me that I did not hear you mention at all, that seems to be a reasoning behind this, besides money, which you did mention, which I definitely agree with. Yeah,
numero uno.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I think we can both agree that's probably, like, look, yeah, are we jaded? Maybe, sure. But that's probably the number one reason. But I think that there's a regular season Mountain West title on the line with these games. And
Wait, hold on. Which, really quick, Aztecs get 2 free wins and Rams fans are pissed about it. Because the New Mexico games are I don't know how it works, but they said they're for seeding purposes only, so that has to go toward conference title, and so that can't make you happy.
That's exactly what it goes to. But, so this allows basically every team an opportunity. I mean, this is the line, right? It allows every team an opportunity to control their own destiny, you know, I guess, and, you know, And I think for those four teams, if you win all your games, well, Utah State, not exactly, but for I think, you know, Boise State, if they win all their games, they win. You know, if San Diego State wins out, they get it. If CSU wins out and San Diego State loses any of those games, CSU. Yeah, so I think, you know, it's like, you get these games in, and I understand.
Not necessarily, because Aztecs have a two game lead over them. Because they weren't clear where they say the games were for, like, those two wins versus New Mexico, like the forfeits. They won't go on like their sheet. They get to the tournament committee, but it doesn't specify for. It's just for seeding purposes only. So
if you go to the Mountain West standings page, let's take a look here real quick.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they're.
Oh, no, it does
still
say 11 and 3. Okay.
Because that's what I'm wondering. Is it for seeding only? Because they say it's for seeding, but does it mean for championship? Because the scenario could play out where the Aztecs have the number one seed, but they don't win the conference champion for some fluky reason because those two wins are only for seeding, but not for actually going toward the record. It's not 100% clear. I'd assume it would go toward everything except for NCAA tournament consideration. Like, oh, you're. Instead of being a. You're not a 20-win team or something, or a 22-win team. You're really 20.
Right. No, and I think you're right that it's going on everything Mountain West and nothing that goes to the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee. So, like, I think for the purposes of getting the banner, those two wins are being counted. It's just that the NCAA is saying, okay, we're not going to recognize them, but if you guys want to recognize them in terms of giving out your conference tournament awards, or, you know, your conference champion award and your conference tournament seeding, go ahead.
But it doesn't say award. Here's exactly what it says. Like, I'm nitpicking, and here's the thing. If you're doing something like this, your lawyer stuff, you know what we're talking about, you need to be very specific, right?
Yeah.
SDSU will be awarded 2 wins and New Mexico 2 losses for final regular season standings. See, right, though, it is right there. So I must have skimmed over this earlier. So it does go toward the final regular season standings and conference tournament seedings only. According to the NCAA, it does not change, like, your overall record. So, like, here's the thing, too. We can argue about the Super Rams, they can be pissed about it, but come on. New Mexico wasn't going to beat San Diego State even once. So it's like you're fighting a battle where if you want to be, like, ethical, and technically it's this, but if we're being honest, there's no way.
Rams fans pissed because their UNM series also got canceled, but they're only getting one shot instead of two? I mean,
But it wasn't.
Or that they're not getting, you know, the forfeit for the other one that they can't make up because of the time constraint. Like, but it's not. I mean, UNM showed up, so I don't.
It was because it was called by the health department. Some were kind of upset at, like, it's just kind of like, oh, crap, this sucks. But,
well, and the fact that, you know, the cancellations with New Mexico and Nevada were both not Colorado states. Like, they were just affected. They weren't actually infected, I guess. they just got bad luck, right? I mean, two teams who had to pause right when Colorado State came up on the schedule. And so, yeah, I mean, I understand, but if they win, I mean, yeah, they need San Diego State to not.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Win out. So they'll be rooting for Boise State to win one of those games, but not both.
It's also like, this year's not fair. It's like, who cares? The whole year's not fair. I don't care. Essentially, yeah. That's my point, too. It's like, everybody's dealing with curveballs, sliders, backdoor, knuckleballs. Doesn't matter. Everybody's getting stuff thrown their way. It's unfortunate, but again, like, if we're going back, Aztecs, we're going to beat New Mexico no matter what. Like, you and I have zero doubt. What was KenPom probably 1% chance for New Mexico to BPI? Come on. Like, I get it. Like, you play the game. But here's the thing, too, like, CSU could have lost to Nevada once or twice. So if we could spin it the other way, it's like, oh, you missed Nevada at the point, you could have lost to Nevada once or twice and be completely out of the NCAA tournament.
Well, and I think, you know, I would hope that had the same thing happened with Nevada instead of New Mexico, let's say, you know, a team that's not ranked real, real low in the net, I would think and hope that the Mountain West would have made the same decision. If all of the other circumstances were the same, you know, if Nevada had said, we want to reschedule the game, we can't play it this week because we just don't have it in us, you know, or whatever. That's obviously paraphrasing. But, you know, I would hope so, you know, I think if people are like, well, you can't just give them the win because it's New Mexico. It's like, no, they're giving them the win because it's a forfeit, not because it's New Mexico. Yeah. You know, that's the determination that was made. So, it's, you know, the team quality part shouldn't come into it at all. So it doesn't matter if they would have beaten them or not beaten them or they could have lost. It's like, I get it. And I hope that, you know, they would have made the same call had it been a different team.
So, I think they would have because
I think so.
The Rams Wolfpack game got canceled at the last second. So, and it wasn't because they didn't want to play. So like, I just don't like it. Half the coaches with Mark Ziegler, the San Diego Union Tribune, saying like half the coaches or at least five don't want to do this, and I don't blame them because and we'll move on to our NCAA tournament stuff and other things going forward. But like they have a good reason to not want to risk this. It's not because they're going to win or lose. Because again, if you look at this closely, there's very little seeding I think that's going to change from this. Like, and if you tell me if you're 6-8 or like, if you're New Mexico and win a game or two to move out to San Jose State, it's like, well, I don't care. It's like, it's not going to do much.
No, I mean, and to be fair, I'm really kind of playing devil's advocate I agree with it. Because, I mean, you got to see the other side to some degree. But, yeah, no, I agree that it's like, it's not monumental in terms of, like, because at one of these points, you know, you're talking about who's wearing home whites in one of these games, right? If you're talking
with
about
no fans different... as well, we should mention no fans.
Exactly. So if you're talking about, you know, feeding, it's like, whatever, just play the team in front of you and beat them.
That's I guess technically, you probably don't want to be the four seed because you're playing Nevada, and that's like the only thing I'd want to avoid. That's about it, really. Like we mentioned, UNLV is unlikely to move up over Nevada. Fresno's not going to move up over UNLV. But you have the tiebreakers. Does it say, what does it say? Is it winning percentage?
So I've got that pulled up. So it's winning percentage. So we're in the portion of it that says tiebreaking procedures for unequal amount of conference games played, which is where we're at, because Boise State end up getting 20. Utah State and San Diego State will end up with 19, and I believe CSU and Nevada will both end up with 18. So we're going to have that. So they said the actual win percentage, this is the I'm reading here, so this is not me at all. If all teams do not complete their entire conference schedule, the following procedures shall be used. Actual win percentage will be used as a basis for all seeds in the conference tournament, excluding the regular season champions, which will be awarded the number one seed. So that's another reason why this is really important to decide who's the regular season champion, because they automatically get the number one seed. If there's a tie, then the number one and two seeds go to the teams that are tied, or the top three if there are three teams tied, and so on. That's not going to happen at this point, though. We don't have enough evenness. So they give a couple examples here, but basically you would look at who is the regular season champion, which is going to be determined – God. let's see. So let me just make sure that that's clear. Okay, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead. So we have to decide first who's the regular season champion. So let's back up. So they take the average number of conference games that are played across the whole thing. Jeez, Louise.
It's never clear. Like, football wasn't clear either. So
there's so much in here, man. It's like, I'm not going to spend 10 minutes reading this whole thing.
So I think what it's going to be, it's going to be most likely win percentage. And then what they did in football is
none of the teams that matter are going to be so far off from the average that any of that comes into play.
So there's that too. Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. They would add games like as losses to like get everything even, but these teams aren't going to miss so many games because of the makeup scheduling that any of that comes into effect. So it is just going to really be winning percentage. So that's all we really need to worry about here. So that's where these games come into play and all the seeding comes into play. So it'll be winning percentage. Let's see here.
I think it'd be head to head if they tie. Here's what I recall football. If the winning percentage is different with, like, uneven games. So let's just say right here, we have San Diego State, CSU, Utah State, all with 11 wins. That's technically even though Utah State's 11-4, I believe, and I don't have in front of me, you're reading it there, but if I'm 90% sure that if you have the same number of wins, then you go to whatever tiebreaker scenario would be. So you could be 11-4, 11-6, 11-2. It goes by tiebreaker between, like, head-to-head. That's what football did.
So I don't think that's what's happening here. I think this is because all of the teams up here that are competing, just all of the teams in general are going to meet this like games played quota or whatever. So at this point, they're going to look at the win percentage.
And that's probably it, right?
Yeah. So that's for all seeds. Right. In the conference tournament, except for whoever is determined the regular season champion. And that's also going to be determined by win percentage. The only little caveat with the regular season champion was if not enough games were played, and that's not coming into effect.
Yeah, it was like football where they did play like four or five conference games, and like there's a team technically out, or the Big Ten rule with Ohio State, like, screw you, we're going to stick you in anyways.
Right. So really, you know, if I'm thinking about it, I think I might actually prefer being like the two seed if I'm Boise State, maybe, because then because there's going to be like a potentially dangerous San Diego State, Utah State, Nevada, maybe in like 1-4-5 part over there. And then you got, I mean, not to say that Boise State or Colorado State aren't also dangerous, but I don't know.
Gives me a good thing to ask this really quick, because we can do this later once it's tournament week. Of the top four teams, who would you rather face? Like, who do you think I know we can go by power rankings, but who's the weakest team of those top four?
I think right now I would have to say Utah State, but only because they're shorthanded because Raleigh Worcester's out, and that's affecting them, I think. So I would say, I mean, that's like a little bit of a cop-out because it's like, ooh, injured got that team. But at full strength, that's a good question.
I'll go with Colorado State, even without Utah State at full strength. I'll do it. I'll say it. My man Nemus had 32 back-to-back 30-point games. Come on.
Yeah, and look at well, there we go. So that's the question. He had his best ever offensive games. I looked it up. Those were his two best offensive games of his career, and they were both losses. He didn't get any help. He didn't get any help with Raleigh Worcester out, man. Nobody else was running the rest of the offense, so it just all went through Kata. And so somebody else needed to kind of step up to run it, and it just it didn't happen in those games. But
so I go Rams, but we look at bracket fair, stuff.
That's fair.
Utah State is on the outside looking in a bracket matrix at the moment because they got swept by Boise, which shot Boise up in our ranking. So if we look at bracket matrix, we're sitting, the league's sitting at three teams. So there's now 120 brackets. They keep going up, Andy, every week. Is your bracket on here? It better be. Did you submit it?
DPI? Yep, it's in there.
Okay. I'm not going to search it all because there's 120 now. But I see it right there. Oh, dude, you got left half of the page. You're sitting like a bracket number 10 because I think it's alphabetical.
It is. Yeah, so I'm right there next to Delphi Brackets.
That's right, Delphi and whatever DS is. So you currently have, or excuse me, your numbers have, I should say. I should make it correct, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. So this is, and this is a number that's like currently always kind of being tweaked. Just as I kind of, I'm still figuring out the right weights for this number. But yeah, a computer generates these feeds and then I bracket based on the rules. But weighting different things like, the win-loss records in the different, in the quadrants, like assigning a point value to each kind of win, like a quadrant one win or a quadrant two loss, you know, that sort of thing. And then also looking at the teams, like using the DPI, team rankings that I do based on statistics. So different things like that go into this. I also have three Mountain West teams. And yeah, I think it's the same one.
You hate Utah State, apparently, so that's okay.
I do, yeah. they are the seventh team out for me right now, whereas I do actually have the three Mountain West teams safely in. Yeah.
You get Aztecs 9, you have Boise 10, and then 9?
Yeah, well, let's look at the, again, this is being tweaked all the time. Let's not look at this snapshot, because I'm not particularly happy with today's. Let's look at the bracket matrix, though, overall, because I do think it's interesting, because Colorado State is a much closer case than I have them, I think, in reality, than what's being reflected in my bracket, which is kind of a nice thing for me to kind of look at. It helps me to see, like, ooh, what am I missing? What's actually being weighted here? Helps me kind of understand the committee's thinking a little bit more, too, to be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't look at just resume quite so much, or maybe I shouldn't look at, you know, X, Y, Z. So,
but anyway. What is overall, like, you're basically in line. You are one of the higher ones on the Rams, because they have Aztecs at 8.88, 9.88 Boise, Rams 11.34, and Utah State's in only three brackets, which... And even if you look like ESPN and other places on the, like all the bubble watches, Yahoo, everywhere else, it seems like there's zero team, like even San Diego State's not even, they're like a safe bet, or nobody's a lock, like from any like non-major conferences outside like Gonzaga, really. So.
Yeah. So we did this last week and maybe this will become a weekly thing. So, my colleague Lucas Harkins at KeyCheck CBB does, the bubble watch, for the site, and he does it every Wednesday, so every Tuesday night, the night that you and I record this, he sends the draft over, so I get to see what he's thinking about the Mountain
West. What's he got tonight?
So he's got San Diego State and Boise State both firmly in the field, but not locked. So that's a little preview. I mean, I'm guessing by the time people hear this, it'll actually be on the site at heatcheckcbb.com. But yeah, so he's got them. He's got Colorado State and Utah State in his I believe the double the deodorant column. Yeah. So, you know, they're sweating it out, man. They're going to be sweating it out on Selection Sunday. And I think, yeah, my bracket has Colorado State way too safely in right now, and it's because there's really not a lot of meat on their bones, but the statistics are good for Colorado State.
That is weird. Yeah, it's like they seem higher. Like they've been.
They also don't have a lot of bad stuff. They just don't have a lot of good stuff either. It's just it's kind of a strange. Kind of a strange resume.
A little bit, because they split am I correct, they split every team, Aztecs, Broncos, and Aggies, right?
Right, and I haven't played Nevada yet, which is another point of contention, I think, as to why that game's getting played. I think I saw that mentioned somewhere. I don't remember if it was Mark Ziegler or somebody else doing some reporting, but that there was a desire among coaches in the league or ADs, you know, to make sure that all of the teams in the top played all of the teams in the top. And so the fact that CSU and Nevada never played, I think, was kind of a thorn in the side of a few people who I'm guessing are not CSU or Nevada. Maybe like San Diego State. I don't know. Maybe Boise State. Maybe
that game should be played. Like, why would they not want to play it?
Well, I don't know. Why not play the San Diego State UNLV game?
No, I mean, like, if the other coaches are complaining about that game, why would they be complaining about a game that could help you if you're above the Rams or even right below them?
I'm not sure if I understand your question.
Did you say the coaches didn't want to see that game being played?
No, I think the coaches do want to see that. Oh. I think I think I said that Colorado State and Nevada would probably not want to play that game, but everybody else would want to.
Oh, gotcha. Well,
that's what I was saying.
I think Nevada would want to. CSU, because Nevada's like right on the fringe, they're a 102 team, so they're right there to be a top 100 net team. So
Whatever about the game. In the conference, but Nevada could get like the second or third seed, depending on how some of this stuff shakes out.
Hold on. Let's look at that. They're 9-5 real quick.
Play Utah State twice, so they could leapfrog them this week by beating them twice.
They'd
be 11-5 and
11-6,
and Utah
right.
State would be 11-6. Yeah. So
exactly.
I did all this. Okay. Well, now we're getting into, you know, Jeremy the prognosticator.
I do want to see this chaos because that would be fun. So, I need to retract.
That's why I'm not mad about this rescheduling, because it's going to get wild.
I think I'm just more mad about how, as I mentioned,
I think you're right that a single site would have probably been preferred. I just don't know that you can logistically pull that off that quickly. I don't know.
Okay.
You should have been planning that. You should have been planning it. July or whatever. So I mean, when we say you can't do it that, it's like, man, this was a freight train coming for months. You and I have been talking about what are they gonna do with this week for months, and you know, it's like it's here, and they're like, we're gonna play a bunch of games at home sites.
Or if they wanted to play these certain games, like I might agree with the schedule, but you put four teams in one spot and you still play the week. You know what I mean, like. What?
Do you like a couple pods that are 14, halfway to Vegas?
Yeah, or whatever it may be. Like, I guess there's home court involved, but it's like there's nobody there. It's like, come on, that doesn't really mean much. But you could have played I'm going to catch myself every time I want to hit myself in the head. But you would have four teams in one location. You play every other day. You play the week. So you're playing like a Monday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, whatever it may be. It's that. Would have been much better, but the seeding will get weird, and we'll see. I guess I do need to apologize. Seeding means nothing. But when somebody brings me up to, like, the UNLV Wyoming seeding options, I'm like, get out of here.
That's fine. I did run through all the numbers, though, to see if it's possible. Well, actually, I should say Bart Torvik ran through the numbers first to see if it was possible for Utah State to still win a sole share of the Mountain West title. They can. There's a 0.1% chance of it happening. So I did a little thinking, and I figured out how it works. So here you go. For anyone listening who wants Utah State to win the Mountain West Championship regular season outright and get the number one seed, here's what needs to happen. So take notes. You need Boise State and San Diego State to split. Then you need both of them to lose their makeup games. So you need Boise State to lose at home to Fresno State and you need San Diego State to lose at UNLV. Okay, bear with me. Then you need, I think, if I'm looking at this right, you only need Colorado State to lose once. You only need that to happen.
Well, they Utah split, State, so yeah, I think so. They split.
And so, right, so if Utah State wins out, if Colorado State loses at least once, the best they can finish is 14-4. Mm. If Utah State wins out, they will finish 15-4. If Boise State and San Diego State do the things that I said, they would end up at 15-5 and 14-5. So Utah State would be on top. So all you really need is for Fresno State to beat Boise State at home. That's really the biggest thing, man. And if you've got, you know, Leon Rice being concerned and he doesn't really care, I have no inkling that this will happen. This is all speculation before I even get into it. But, you know, if he rests his starters like he's a week 17 NFL head coach, mm-hmm. right? And maybe doesn't want to get any, maybe we see a scout team come out, right? A bunch of walk-ons play for one game against Fresno State because they say, whatever, we don't care. We split with Boise State or with San Diego State, so we can't get the title anymore. So we don't care about two or three. We'll throw out the scout team. I run a 6-man rotation with our, you know, student managers. We'll let Fresno State get this win.
You know, I know it's somebody else over, right?
Well, you know, but then you need UNLV to do their part and beat San Diego State. But, you know, it could happen. But, yeah, it's a 0.1% chance of that happening. At the moment, San Diego State has the best chance per Bart Torvik and BartTorvik.com. They have a 60% chance per his math to get a share of the title, and a 57% chance to get sole custody of it.
So if you want to look at this and not have your head hurt in the mouth, I just tweeted on our Twitter account, MWC Wire, not the full breakdown of who wins or what, but just a percentage and kind of what it looks like visually for who can win the conference or at least share it. So
yeah.
So let's get to a couple of games.
Yeah, let's get to some games. Let's get to some things that are happening. Or
Power Rangers. Kata, my man.
Oh, you want to talk about some of the past? Okay.
For a minute here.
I'm just joking. All right.
Hey, Aggies lose both games. I'm seeing these games. I'm like, Nemus, 12 for 21, 32 points.
This is the game that you've been talking about for 2 years, saying you want to
get
see
some help.
Games? Well, yeah, he needs some help, though, too. That's the thing, is you got the big games, but you got them at the expense of everybody else. And that's, I don't know how much of that is actually with, you know, Raleigh Worcester being out. I'm a big fan of the guy. So, you know, he's a fun player to watch. I don't know that you can ascribe. I think you have to just say also that Boise State's a really good team, right? So
that's number one. Number two, Brock Miller scored 12 points in 2 games.
So that's a problem.
2 points in one. His average is just around 10 or so. So the first game.
If you have the numbers up there, how did Ashworth do?
Ashworth in the, what's game one or game two? But in the 81-77 game, sorry, I have them both up here. I don't have the date. But Ashworth had 7 points and then 3 points.
Yeah, so that's also an issue because, you know, even if Raleigh Worcester's not scoring 15, 20 points a game, how many assists did those guys have? You know, I feel like the offense runs more smoothly.
And 11, Ashworth did it combined.
Okay, so that's not bad. All right. Sorry, Steve.
But you're not wrong. Like, Brock Miller scores, when he goes 0 for 5 from 3 and just be the chucker from side to
Jimmy. Well, right, exactly. Yeah, he is Jimmy. He's a chucker. Yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm ever expecting Brock Miller to lead the team in assists. Or anything. I mean, that's not his job. But
give me 10 points, like get close to your average, and don't miss from 3-point range. That's kind of your thing,
right?
Like he's shooting really quick, 41% from the year, and he goes a combined. Let's see, 0 for 5, and he goes 2 for 10. Like
2020 Miller, he instead of 2021 Miller.
I know
he's been super hot this year, and that's been like one of the things that stood out to me about Utah State. Kind of their resurgence, right, is, hey, Brock showed up, and he didn't do it last year, and he had cover last year because Sam Merrill was still there, Abel Porter was still there, Diego Brito was still there. Mm-hmm. But this year, it was like, hey, you better step up, and he did, but not so much in these games.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, so what games do you want to talk about this week? There's a couple. At least the big one, Aztecs Broncos. That's kind of big, right? If I recall.
Yeah, I think that's pretty big. And then Aggies and Wolfpack. That's another big series too. I mean, like we said, the Wolfpack couldn't jump over Utah State with this series. And I think you said, you know, it's not going to happen, but it could.
Not likely, I'll say.
Where is it in Logan? I don't have it up in front of me.
It's scheduled for me. I have Friday's game. Let's see. Yeah, it's in Logan. There are fans allowed.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was in Reno for some reason, which is why I was like, wow, you're really quick to say this can't happen. Okay, so probably not a, you know, sweep here.
Let's play
Nevada.
The game real quick. BPI, who's favored in this game, first of all? Let's do it. Start. Ooh. Nevada, Utah State, who is favored?
I'm going to say Utah State's favored.
Obviously. Okay, what's the percentage they're expected to win?
I'm going to say 61.
78.5%.
Whoa! That is a real reaction, too. I am surprised by that. So, okay, really, 78? Boy, I guess they really enjoy the defense of Utah
State. If you're wondering, game 2 79% for some reason.
Well, sure. Maybe they've been looking at some of these statistics saying that, you know, the teams know each other better in the second game or something. I don't know. But, okay, so I don't know, man. I've seen some sure shots this year, right? I've seen Grant Sherfield take over games, but I've seen them lose to Wyoming, you know, two games on the road as well. So they're not Lawler. So does Nevada's show travel? Does Nevada have some rust to shake off? When was the last time Nevada played?
Oh, yeah, they haven't played. Like, they had the CSU series is canceled. It was also the Wyoming series canceled, too. And so they haven't played since February. Oh, San Jose State CSU. They haven't played since they beat Boise State. Like, it's kind of a bad time, too. They swept Nevada, swept UNLV, swept Boise. So that game was way back on, geez, when was that
February
game?
7th.
So we're almost 3 weeks.
It will be just about 3 weeks until they play their next game. So, yeah, I would imagine Utah State wins that first game. I know my buddy Evan Miyakawa has done some study research looking at how teams do coming off of a pause. Actually, let me pull this up because the length of the pause does seem to matter. Let's see here. So this is Evan Mia or evanmia.com. He's doing some really good stuff over there. But yeah, let's see here. So for 21-day pause, we're going to go ahead and say that's where Nevada falls here. The disadvantage for a team coming off of a COVID pause has risen to 2.9 points on average in a normal tempo game. But the longer the pause, the longer the disadvantage. So for a 21-day pause, it's shaving about 2.6 points off of, the team's points per 100 possessions. So that's, you know, you're losing a three-pointer basically by, by being gone so long. So I think that does maybe that, and add in the fact that Utah State's going to be pretty motivated here, right? I think you're going to see probably a big win for Utah State maybe in the first game and then a much closer game two. Maybe even an upset from Nevada there, but, or I don't know if we call it an upset. I remember that. That's a thing.
Nah, stop it. Stop it. We're not going back to
that. I mean, but Phil, but come on. Would you really call that, like, that big of an upset between Nevada and Utah State, or is that just a conference game? Like, yeah, one's in the standings, but, like, and I guess, you know, if you're Vegas, you gotta call things upsets or not, but, like.
I would call it upset if Nevada beats Utah State on the road when Nevada's in fifth place in the conference.
Okay. Okay.
Like, it doesn't, I'm not saying full-on major.
Yeah, I was just asking the question. That's all. I just want to know, would you call it? I think, you know, I think it's fair. It's not wrong. It's not inaccurate. But I also, it's not a major upset.
No, I wouldn't call it. No, Nevada's good enough to probably beat, well, they've already beat Boise State. So, like, right now, KenPom has a 9 points. Or, excuse me, 7 points. So, if the score is actually, or in favor of Utah State. So, if the score is flipped and it was 73-66 Nevada, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's an upset, not major. If they win by 10 plus, yeah, it's a huge upset.
Yeah, but okay, that's fair.
I think the game probably will be within single digits, like under 10 points. So, it won't hit that net cap of MOV.
I think they took that away. I don't know, though. Who knows anything
about
that?
I'll say it until I hear it otherwise.
Well, yeah.
It also depends if Utah State's healthy. Like, you know, like look happened with the Boise State issues. They're missing players, and that's a problem if they don't have full strength. Like I mentioned, Cada had his best two games ever offensively. It still wasn't enough, and they lost by 9 in one of those games. So they need, obviously, Brock Miller to play a bit better. Like, I never said 30-10. I just said give me, like, 18-12.
You did. That's true. 18-12 is absolutely the number that you've been repeating. But, you know, he still gave you – I mean, he gave you too much, maybe, to share that with the other guys.
So, out of those games, how do you think it's going to shake out? Is it going to be a split? Is it going to be a sweep by either team?
Utah State, Nevada?
Yeah.
I think Utah State is going to win them both. Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with what I said. I think a bigger win in game one and then a much closer game two, but I do think Utah State will probably pull it out. So, I'll say they get the two wins there, but I'm not that confident. I'm not as confident as the BPI, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
What do you
think? I don't think it's that much either, but like in Nevada, who they lost to, they've had the only real bad loss is that 2 Wyoming games, which is kind of a...
Air Force game?
Oh, and the Air Force game, yes. I scrolled down too far.
I was like, that's for sure what he's about to say is the Air Force games. And you said the Wyoming ones, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Those two. But no, I was looking down, and like I scrolled too far. I'm at the bottom of the page because we're near the end. I don't think it'll be, I think it'll be a split. I would favor Utah State to win both, but I think it's going to be a split. Just because of the health-wise, and Nevada's good enough, I think, even though they had the layoff, that's why I think game one is Utah State regardless. I think game two will be really close and maybe a Nevada win. So I'll go like, can I go 1.8 to 0.2, like a 1.8, 1.6 or something?
Right. So I think basically, yeah, we've got like, the spread on this game is a point, and we're both taking, you know, either side of it. It's going to be a close one. Yeah.
So watch these games really quick. Friday, 7 Mountain Time. Sunday, 5 p.m. Mountain Time. Both are on FS1, I believe. All right, so Boise-San Diego State. These games are Thursday, so a couple days, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, FS1. Saturday, CBS Sports Network, 2 p.m. Mountain Time.
Oh.
Aztecs are ranked as well, as we should note that, 22. They – actually, before I get into the game, where are they in our power rankings? They weren't number one this week, were they?
The Aztecs?
Yeah.
No, they were number two behind Boise State.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that is because Boise State – just beat Utah State twice, and San Diego State has been playing the bottom of the league. So it's funny, right?
Like we said, remember?
Well, yeah, because Boise State was doing this at the start, and everyone was like, oh, I don't know. It's, you know, they're playing nobody. And then, you know, finally we brought them all the way up to the top, and then they started playing people, and they lost.
Yeah.
And San Diego State was the opposite. They were playing everybody, and we put them all the way at the top, and then they faltered a little bit. And then – it seems like they've been winning by, you know, 20 points every game since then, and they haven't quite been able to climb back all the way to the top. They were in fourth for a minute, which was really weird. Then they were tied for second for a couple weeks, I feel like. Now they're in second place on their own, and they're only like 4 vote points or whatever out of 150 behind Boise State. So it's basically like they're 1A, 1B. They are really, really close, but Boise State's ahead.
I really voted for Boise State, but I probably shouldn't have.
I think I did the same thing. I realized because, it after. I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I put it through. I'm like, I'm going through right now. Like, I looked after. I'm like, what are we doing
bias.
Here?
Recency bias.
Well, I don't, but it shouldn't be. San Diego State hasn't lost in like a month.
No, and so I tried to make amends by writing this up in the power rankings. This way, I said, what more do they need to do to get some respect around here? You know, and it's like, I'm really calling myself out for this,
because
I was one of the people who voted for them number 2.
Boise's 5-3 in their last 8, and they lost both twice to Nevada. Like, if you look at the bad losses either team has, like, Aztecs have 0 bad losses, BYU's an NCAA tournament team, CSU's a fringe team, Utah State's a fringe team as well. Like, that's weird.
I don't know. More, like, basic gut reason why I did this? If the Mountain West would have told me on Sunday when I put this ranking in that San Diego State really has 13 wins, not 11.
Oh.
No. I'm saying I looked at them. I look at the standings. I want to reflect them, you know, not completely, but I want to make sure I understand where are we? And when I saw it, it's like, okay, Boise State, man, they're 14-3. They're sitting on top of the conference. Okay. You can't. Till somebody dethrones them, you know, I think that was kind of my thinking there a little bit. And yeah, when you take it a step back and realize like, hey, San Diego State's the ranked team, you know, nationally.
That still doesn't necessarily
mean anything. And Boise State, to their credit, did get some votes in toward the poll. I think they got like 8 in the other one. Yeah.
Itself, this will decide first place, I think, no matter what, right?
Yeah, it should. I mean, we do run the risk of having these Boise, Fresno, and SDSU, UNLV games deciding the conference.
Oh,
and,
please, no.
Well, if anything, if we get quite lucky, we might have a chance where the CSU-Nevada game gives CSU an outright Mountain West title, which would be pretty cool. But I don't think we're going to get there. It would require some losses that I don't think are going to happen. So, yeah, for all intents and purposes, this series decides the league. And I'm not sure. Who do you have? So, I don't know. Do you want to jump right to that? To who do you have and, you know, how do you see this playing out?
BPI for you, Andy. Who's favored to win?
We're going to do BPI first. All right. I would think BPI. I'm going to say San Diego State's favored to win.
Yeah, they're at home, so yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know, like, probably more than 58?
Oh.
8 more, huh?
Boise fans would love you if it was 58. 73.5%
for San Diego. Okay.
Well, go ahead. You start first.
Well, I think that's high. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, first of all, yes, let's get that out of the way.
That's all I wanted to say. So go ahead and make your point.
Well, my point being, there's a couple NBA players on this court. Each team has at least one. So, like, I think at least one. Am I correct on that, you think, believe? Matt Mitchell, NBA player. Eric Alston, at least.
Yeah, at least. Keychab.
Maybe.
I could see... A lot of pros, absolutely. I don't know if they're all going to be NBA pros, but you got a lot of guys who are going to be making their living on basketball for the next 5-10 years if they want to.
This game has the most talent of any conference game all year, I would say.
I think because, I would agree with you there, yeah.
Like, Utah State has some really good talent, so you can make a close argument, but...
That would be the only other one I would consider.
They would be right there, and Boise just swept Utah State, and so into San Diego State splits. So, like, this game says, like, do you trust Eric Alston? Do you trust Matt Mitchell more? Do you trust this guy? Like, there's plenty of guys, like, we're not going to see a Houston game like that's eons ago with Derek Alston getting shut out. But, like, when you see what these two teams can do, like, that discrepancy is huge because when you look at, like, the points of who, like, I go by points because I'm an offensive guy apparently because that's all I care about too much. Oh, come on. Get up. I'm already
well, you're talking about SDSU, man. You're talking about a defensive squad here, man. I don't know what you're saying. You're the one who's couching it. So what do you got?
Well, here's the weirdest thing. Like, I'm just looking at raw numbers because why not? Like, they basically score almost the same amount of points, about 75 to 78. They have the exact same rebound number. They have within one of the assist number. Their steals are Aztecs are a touch better defensively overall with blocks and steals. But it's like what they do, like, it is very close across the board. Like, their shooting percentage is basically the same on every aspect. Broncos shoot to three, touch better. It is wild how this isn't how they play, but how the game ends up. They're almost identical at what they do well in for the most part. Like, they both score pretty well. Aztecs play a little bit better defensively, but it's not like there's no huge glare. I know there's more to basketball than just straight numbers, but just kind of looking at who does what. Like, Boise may score a touch more because they have three Alston, Kebab and Shaver both get double digits. Dennis gets about almost 10 a game. But I would say if you're looking at who would lead the team victory, like if you're going to pick like one player, okay, this guy is going to get, this is why they're going to win. If I'm going to pick a player to like ball out and do great, it's going to be Derek Alston. Like, that's the only guy. Matt Mitchell maybe, but like you see how many times Alston scored 20 plus points.
There's a name that I am not hearing that I – Jordan Schockel. Jordan Schockel is the name that I want to hear here.
Fine. Go for Jordan Schockel. What about him?
Well, what about him?
I'm kidding a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay.
Bring him up.
Well, no, I know you're kidding. I'm just – you know, if you're looking for a guy to take over and, like, hit a bunch of shots and just, like, get wild hot, I mean, we've got – he's hit 4 threes. See, he was 4 for 4 against Fresno State. He didn't miss a shot in his last game out against Fresno State. But he scored it in double figures in every game since January 16th. That's like, looks like nine games in a row, all in double figures. He had, well, but you know, who have they been playing?
I don't care. But he
did have 8 3-pointers made. He shot 8 of 11 from 3 against Colorado State.
I know.
He
I see that.
23 points in that game. 13. He had 24 against he had 25 against Arizona State.
They
were better.
Because we discussed pre-show, that's a good win.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to face him in the Pac-12 tournament. UCLA, who is actually a good team, but weren't maybe on that day because they were really shorthanded, if memory serves. But, you know, Jordan Schockel still hit his shots. And so I'm saying, you know, that's who I would expect. If you're an offensive guy, that's who I expect to be the takeover man if there's, like, somebody to do it and to keep up with the kind of high-powered offense that Boise State has, because I think you will see that they are – Boise State's going to lean a little – their defense is better than I expected it to be. I will say that. Mm-hmm. Ray J. Dennis, Marcus Shaver, Abu Kijab, Modern Army, those guys defend really well. Alston's not a huge liability. And he makes some good plays on help defense. You know, he gets some good blocks sometimes. But, you know, that's not his job. He's out there to score points.
I would say, you're correct on that, but here's what I'd say.
Yeah.
If you're looking to strength, like who needs to do what better to win, I would think that might rely more on San Diego State's defense needing to outperform. Because, like, Alston's had 4 of 6 games of 20 plus points, like 8 of 10 or 8 of 11 of 20 plus points. And that includes, and Boise, as we discussed, Boise's playing tougher schedule. Utah State, Nevada, CSU. He had 2 clunkers, UNLV and CSU with 9 points each for some reason. But I think they would need that and shock. Like, the reason I'd say, like, who's going to take over the game? Like, maybe let me rephrase what I'm going to say. Who needs it more to take over a game? I think Aztecs need one player, whether Schockel or Mitchell, to have a really big game to beat Boise State. Not because I say Boise State's amazing or their defense is going to shut them down. The way the Aztecs score, they don't, like, after Schockel and Mitchell, it goes down to, like, Mensa for, like, 8 points a game. Like, they don't have the scoring. They don't really have a third scorer, really. They kind of do, but not, like, consistently. Like, Boise kind of has a little bit more than they do. And that's where I'm getting at, where I think Aztec's going to have to score more. Like, if they do that and get – I'm not saying he needs to go off, like, 28 points. But if he gets – like, if Mitchell and Shock will combine for even just like 38 or something, like about five or so more than their average. Their defense will take care of the rest and they'll be fine. Right now they're about 29 a game. If they get to about 35 with them with their defense, I would guarantee them probably win both games if those guys combine for that many points. Because the defense will stop Boise State. And Boise, like I said, they have three guys who double digits. Even Dennis gets to nine. So they have a few more options in case Alston gets shut down a little bit. Like if he goes 14 points, well, maybe Kebab or Shaver or who knows, maybe even some random person, Max Rice, has 12 points or something. Because he's shooting
Devonair Dutrieve missed the last game with a dental emergency.
Yeah.
I imagine he's back, though. So he's a former Arizona guy, another guy who can score in buckets, and he can hit big shots. I didn't see it live because I was in China at the time. But he hit a game winner against Oregon State, my hometown team, at Gill Coliseum to beat Oregon State a couple years ago. So Devonair Dutrieve, that's always going to stick in my head that I'm a little annoyed by him doing that. But he's a guy who can also get some points for you. So
they have more options. That's my point.
They do. They have a lot of options for guys. But I think I think a guy like Terrell Gomez could get really hot for San Diego State and hit a bunch of threes. It doesn't also necessarily have to be threes either, of course. Mensah's had a couple big offensive games, and if he can get sort of an inside edge on Lauden Armusch, he could potentially exploit. I mean, Armusch has been playing pretty well lately, and he did. I mean, he was kind of the MVP almost of that last game. Even though Nemish Keita had, 30 points, right? He didn't. Lauden Armusch was getting some love from people. You know, I think even John Rothstein was calling him out. But mostly for things, his offensive, I think, his passing, his, some of the plays he was making, some of the tough. He's just a fun guy to watch, right? He's a fun player. But Utah State's big man scored 30 points on back-to-back nights against Boise State's big man. So,
yeah.
So Nathan Mensah, he might be dialed up for a big game here, offensively speaking, and he's capable of doing it. He's shown a lot more offensive prowess this year than he has in years past. He's still only averaging 8 points a game, but I think he's shown times. He had 17 against Arizona State. He had 18 against St. Mary's. He had 16 against Nevada and 15 in the other game. So he's shown that he can do it, be that guy. He had 17 and 15 against Arizona State. Those are great numbers. He had, and he can get the blocks too, and maybe stop Alston or Shaver or Dennis or Keija, whoever's trying to score inside. He needs to have a big game, not necessarily just scoring, but he needs to make the rim a place that Boise State cannot go. And it forces Boise State to shoot threes. Now they can do it. They can hit those threes and make them. They're a top 100 team, Boise State is, when it comes to shooting threes. They hit 35% of them. But, make them hit those shots, but don't give them anything inside. And I think that could be a good recipe for them to get this. Because Boise State doesn't love taking threes. It's only about 37% of their offense. It's just, pretty – to the lower half of the country. So – I think that might be a key to it for San Diego State is to, Nathan Mensah really being capable on offense and really, though, like you said, the defensive effort stepping up that way to match Boise State's explosive offense, I think that's where you need to see it. That's how I'm seeing this play out.
So who do you got?
I have San Diego State winning them both.
What? Both?
Uh-huh. I do. I think that they're just playing so well, right? And I mean, hey, Boise State is too. But the San Diego State team is clicking really, really nicely, and I don't really see. I think they're getting written off because they're not playing anybody right now. But it's they're the fact that they're not really playing anybody, you know, quote unquote, is kind of masking them. They're kind of hiding in plain sight here as they're, you know, winning 25 games and everyone's like, yeah, well, I'll get two. And they're going to show up. And I think, you know, kind of like Gonzaga, where you've got they are just like blowing through the West Coast Conference. That does not mean they are not good. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you're right. I was going to say Aztecs are just winning by a lot of points too. Like, right. Here's the thing. I think Boise is good enough to beat them. I'm going to take Aztecs to win at least one, probably two. But I wouldn't, I don't, regardless, there's not going to be I shouldn't say regardless because that's a pretty definitive thing on there. I think there's a good likelihood that this will be a split, but I'm taking Aztecs to win game one and game two. We'll see. But I lean toward them winning both, but it's not going to shock me if it splits.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win these games by 20 points, both of them. I'm not as confident as, you know, the BPI, but hey, I'm actually looking here, you know, Kenpom has this as 71% San Diego State. So, hey, maybe that's, I don't know. The numbers certainly do love, San Diego State right now for all those big wins. Very efficient offense. But hey, they are. They're a very efficient offense and a very efficient defense. So that's what you want in a team. They're a really good team and they're ranked for a reason. They're playing at home. They've got rejuvenation now that they've got those two forfeits and, you know, on their win column and they have a chance to win the Mountain West Championship. I think you're just going to see them playing crazy motivated and I don't see them losing either of those two games. And I don't see them losing against UNLV. So it, you know, it disappoints me because hey, if we go all the way back, I picked Boise State to win the conference. So we're sitting here like right on the cusp of it and I should be picking them to win this, you know, so that my prediction comes true and I look so smart, right? But, exactly. But I think, I do think that San Diego State's going to have kind of a renewed motivation. And they're going to come in and just kind of sweep through and be the villain and say, nope, it's ours. Sorry, Boise State. Sorry, Colorado State. Don't care how magical your seasons were. We're taking it.
No, I could totally see them winning both. I just – like, so what is it for the Mountain West side? I think if you want to get more teams in, I think you'd want to see a less split. Because I think Aztecs are –
yes, yes.
I'm not going to say guarantee them, but they're basically as close as you can be. Because reason – let's say this. If the – series at the end of the season, like that UNLV, and then who else are they playing? Or they just got the one game. Like, say they only had these two games, they could lose both and still be in. But there's a chance, like, just because you play the game, they lose to UNLV, and they might be on the outside looking in. But if, I'm just saying if, but I think the league would want to split to get more teams in there. Because right now, I know we mentioned before, I think the league's looking good with two. And for some reason, you mentioned the numbers love San Diego State. They really love CSU as well for... not an unknown reason, it's because they haven't done anything bad, like you mentioned. They've been just good enough.
Yeah.
Let's run through the rankings really quick, because we only did two of them. So we had Boise 1, San Diego State 2. We'll see the top 4 or 5.
Yeah, let's go the other way. Yeah. So number 3 is Colorado State. So we do have them coming in at 3rd. And then Utah State number 4 and Nevada number 5. Did you want to get into the second half?
No, we're good. We don't need to mention these. We've got an hour. We're good. We've talked enough about stuff. Here's the thing. It's a gigantic gap.
Go to the website.
Between UNLV, Wyoming, everybody else. You know who the bottom half teams are. It's New Mexico that 15.
Yeah, it's UNLV, Wyoming, Fresno State, San Jose State, Air Force, New Mexico. There you go.
Hey, we're getting to crunch time. We only talk about winners now.
Hey, and I just gave you the rankings. I listed them in order. So, boom. If you're a careful listener, you got them.
If you hear me overstepping and talking over you, we're good, though. But check them out. Check out the rankings. We have our seedings update. We were going to make some fun stuff for the week off for the conference tournament, but that's kind of got thrown down the drain. Now at the hustle for whatever couple days we have now to get stuff going for tournament week. But check out everything that we do, MWR.com. We have all of our previews are coming up this week. Definitely check out the Boise Aztecs game. Every game this week, whatever you can do, check them out. Check our stuff out. Our new Facebook page, which is sort of getting more people there, so check that out. What else am I missing, Andy? Anything else we need to say, hey, check it out? Because I said check it out like 10 times.
Well, I mean, you can check out what I'm doing elsewhere. Yeah. Besides Mountain West Wire, check out heatcheckcbb.com. I've got my analytics going on over there and some bracketology. We've got, other staff writers and bracketologists who are doing great stuff. I've got a podcast over there as well. So yeah, other than that, just come on Twitter and start yelling at us.
definitely yelled at us. It's amazing. It's great. It's fun. So we'll be back next week to talk more hoops. And I don't want to say it's March because that's cliche, but we're getting close to the Mountain West Conference Tournament. There we go.
Yeah, this is only February.
As your tweet said, like, oh, I see your retweet. I think time is a construct. Oh, boy. All right, well, until next time, we'll see you then.